Christmas. Well, hello, everybody. It's your favorite day of the week, another day of a lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Well, it's here. Christmas
here we are.
Movie time.
Yep.
Woohoo.
So get this. I was looking for another movie on demand on Lifetime, and Lifetime has totally bought into the whole thing because they've literally scrapped their on demand, their regular on demand, and replaced them with all Christmas movies.
I believe I saw a promo somewhere that they are not only are they doing Christmas movies at night, they're doing Christmas movies 24/7.
Yes.
Like, which is even more than Hallmark does.
Yes. They're like, okay, Hallmark, we're going to give you a run for your money. Mm-hmm. But what the Lifetime ones, I think, are a little sexier than the Hallmark ones.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And speaking of Hallmark, I've got some news.
Oh, is it news about you know who?
No. Well, I've got news.
Still news.
Wait. And now it's time for the Les Doesn't Know Whether or Not It's a Lachlan Report. Here's Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Well, okay. I did read something about Lori Loughlin. So it's looking like now that she may get, it's speculation that she's probably going to get like 10 years.
What?
Yeah.
10 years for Lori Loughlin?
That's speculation.
She'll be Loughlin'd up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Loughlin'd up. Loughlin'd up. I like that.
So there's speculation right now that she could, she could get up to 10 years.
I saw a story on, I think it was CNN last week, that they convicted one of the parents, one of the lesser known parents, but had the harshest sentence yet of any of the parents that have been convicted. And this parent's paid less money than Lori did. So I feel like Lori and Massimo, if convicted, they are screwed.
Do you know how much the other parents got?
It was like $400,000 that they spent. The amount of time I don't know offhand. No, okay. I should have bookmarked the story, but I did not.
Yeah, I think Lori. I think Aunt Becky / Jody Travis is kind of screwed.
We'll see.
And the reason this came up is because I was googling some. I was on Google for something else. And some Fox News person was like saying, like defending her and saying that was a harsh sentence. So I don't know. She's a little. I think the trial is happening soon, but the whole impeachment hearings are kind of pushing them to the side as far as them being in the news.
Oh, yeah. This happens with a lot of big news stories where something will be the story until something else comes along and pushes it aside.
So I'm sure Lori's like, thank you, impeachment.
I thought you meant the impeachment was like literally like pushing her trial
try Lori Loughlin right now because we're too busy putting our government on trial right now.
Right. We got one thing at a time here.
Yeah.
but now my real news is there is not going to be one Hanukkah movie on the Hallmark Channel. There's going to be two Hanukkah movies on the Hallmark Channel.
I think we knew that, didn't we?
Well, we knew that there was going to be one.
Okay.
But no, there's more than
two.
You know how many there should be?
Yeah.
Eight. There should be eight of them.
Eight.
And so what they're doing is they're showing the movies around Hanukkah, as they should.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
I'm not positive about this, but I think our friend Nina Wyman-Smith, too, has been on the show. I think she wrote one of those.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, she's got two big movies. She's got the I think she wrote the Hanukkah one, and I know she wrote the Dolly Parton one.
Well, we must have her back.
Yeah,
because
I'll work on
of
that.
Course, of course, you know we're watching the Queen Dolly movie for sure. You know. Yeah. Actually,
wow, I don't,
Kurt was on, because Kurt just finished a road trip, and I know at one point you put up a picture with you holding a big picture of Dolly Parton.
Well, there was a big article somewhere. I was like in the middle of the country. I was in Wyoming or somewhere like that. And they were handing out newspapers. And there was like an insert in there with Dolly herself. She was promoting this big Dolly Parton Hallmark movie.
Well, is she promoting that, or is she promoting, because she's got a series on Netflix.
Oh,
and I know
does.
They've been doing a lot of press for that, because I think the Hallmark movie is still a few weeks out.
I think this was about the Hallmark movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the premise of the Hanukkah movie, which actually sounds really good, like really good, and I didn't know if your friend Nina wrote this one, the premise of one of the ones I read about was that a woman is going home to spend Christmas with her family. She's supposed to bring her boyfriend, but her boyfriend dumps her. And so she hires an actor to go home with her and pretend to be her boyfriend, and the actor turns out to be Jewish.
Now, this can't be Hallmark.
Yeah, it's Hallmark. Yes.
So, okay, let me I have to process that. All right, so the actor turns out to be Jewish. All right.
Yes.
But he's not, okay.
And he's
so that doesn't really sound like a Hanukkah movie as much as it sounds like a Christmas movie that is going to let you know there's other religions in the world, too.
Oh, you know, in both of them, they're going to insert Christmas in there.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to.
But I feel like it's not Hanukkah-centric. I think it's like there's a slight Hanukkah storyline in the holiday movie.
Well, I think what happens in that movie, here's my prediction, is that the family discovers that he's Jewish, and they're horrified. But then they get over themselves, and they create their own Hanukkah for him, and they get it all wrong.
And the town, they gather in the town square for the new tradition of the annual dreidel spinning contest.
Right.
Right. Oh, and the choir comes out.
Mm-hmm. And then they throw gelt.
I see another choir. They shoehorned a choir into this movie that we're going to be talking about so hard. These people must have been they're squinting. Yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense. I'll tell you what. I saw Dirty Dancing on the E! Channel when I was on the road staying at a hotel, and I thought, this has got to be Les's favorite movie.
Of course. Nobody puts Baby in a Corner.
It's a big makeover of Baby.
Yeah.
Baby is being made over throughout this whole movie. Nobody puts Les Kirkendall Barrett in a corner.
Have you seen Dirty Dancing before?
I did. I saw it back in the day.
Okay.
But I was reminded by seeing it again.
I was watching that NBC show Sunnyside that's new this season, and they actually pulled it from the network after a few episodes, but they're showing them they're posting him on Hulu. And so I was watching, I think it was the most recent episode, and there's a scene where two of the characters are chanting, makeover, makeover, makeover.
Right. Right. And you know that there's going to be a makeover Christmas movie. And you know
makeover
we're watching
Christmas
it.
Movie.
Well, I guess let's get started.
Okay.
A perfect Christmas.
So, I didn't know how you guys felt, but at the end of this movie, I can already go without hearing Christmas music for the rest of the holidays. I haven't even started yet.
Wow. All right. Did you dislike the movie that much?
Well, the background music, literally, it was Christmas carols about the entire movie.
Well, they I feel like there were two kinds of Christmas songs in this movie. The songs that everyone knows and, you know, is done in the under the guise of the choir singing it, so you know all the words. And then there were those, like, original songs that they try and shoehorn into the movie to make some extra revenue. And some of those were terrible.
Yeah, there's some pop song.
And, like, the entire time it was going, blong, bling, bling, blong, 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 like, the entire time.
You know when you do noises like that? Now I've been pulling those and making those the intro to the show before our theme song even starts.
You did? Because I love this. I want to make a mix of that.
And this is another one of those movies where basically nothing happened.
Well, it's,
for the most part.
Yeah, not really.
I feel like it's generally Hallmark's MO.
Well,
love it or hate it, their things are the stakes are never that terribly high.
But this was another, like, low stakes one.
Yeah.
Like I hope
right.
for the new holiday movie season, like they up their game like a little, because this was just kind of like blah.
I found evidence of classism in this movie.
Yes, there was a lot of classism.
Blatant classism.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of shade.
Shade
and
there
classism.
There was shade, yeah. But I will say the classism in this movie was... it was presented fairly, I feel like.
Oh, okay.
That's my opinion.
All right.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's get into it. This is a perfect Christmas.
Hearing. Yes.
Who keeps squeaking there? Whose mic is that?
I think I've been squeaking around. I moved something.
Is there a way to squeak it right?
I have mice. It was a mouse in my house.
Oh, okay.
He's giving commentary. I apologize for no Black China news for this week. I'll get it. I could
dare
do a commentary
you?
Or an editorial. So I don't want people at home to think that we've stopped it. I have jet lag.
I'm sure that Black China is going to be up to all sorts of Christmas shenanigans.
I hope so, because they're going to keep me busy. She probably listens to the show. She's probably like, ooh, they're not going to talk about me this week.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of Black China news right there.
And, all right. And Black China, you know, if you ever want to come on the show, we will be happy to have you.
Or if Zeus TV ever wants to give us a show.
Yes.
We will look up who they are and give a response that is in accordance with how we feel.
That's what we need.
Yeah,
I need a
gig. Yes, we'd all be right. happy to go on your network. Okay, we are at a Christmas tree farm. And, of course, like all Hallmark heroines, she's on the phone and she's very busy. Very busy.
Yes.
Because they're always very busy on this channel, the ladies.
What does she do? Her full-time job is organizing Christmas pageant?
An event planner.
Yeah.
Oh, she's an event planner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And so they're looking at trees, and this is before I knew what the actual premise was. I wrote, because they're talking about trees, and I wrote, her boyfriend seems like an uptight dick. And this is before I realized, that's not her boyfriend. It's actually her husband.
Oh, see, and my assessment out of the gate was, is this one of those sequel Hallmark holiday movies? Because they seem to be treating it like the audience knew who these people were.
Which later I think we find out that it was more of just kind of lazy writing.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, we got an intro here. We got an intro because they met 14 months ago.
Right.
And within that time they got married.
Yeah, and that also led me to believe that, like, was there another Hallmark movie where maybe they were the secondary characters and now they're the leads in the movie? I just didn't know. I was unsure.
Right.
And I tried looking and I didn't find anything about it.
And I think this is a standalone.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I think so, too. Ooh, I don't think there's going to be more of these.
So
they have a holiday budget.
A Christmas tree. And she wants a she wants this Christmas tree that's like $200. And he like immediately chastises her and mansplains to her about how they can't get this tree because it's in the budget. It's not in the budget.
Is that really mansplaining?
I didn't think that was mansplaining.
Because it was a little
This is three men debating. What kind of things can you say to a woman that isn't mansplaining?
Let me explain to you guys what it was. It was
Kurt's going to straight-splain us, Les.
I'm going to straight-splain it. He was just reminding her of the budget. He was trying to keep her in line. That's not going to help. No, he was just trying to. He was trying to control her and tell her that you won't be spending any money, or else we're gonna lose our house in a couple of years if you keep up with these spending habits. Uh oh, we're gonna get some letters on that. Listen,
now, listeners, I did not say keep her in line. This
is like, I don't mean keep her in line. I mean like budget wise, keep the budget in line.
What I thought was funny is like, you know, he was just reminding her, hey, you know, we talked about this. This is how much we have to spend, and she's like, yeah, you're right, and then. He's like, well, maybe we can move a few things around. Now, I realize $200 is not a small amount of money to spend on a tree, but it's also not such a huge expense where you discuss moving around your assets to make it doable.
But later we see a list of the finances. Did you see how much these assholes are spending on cable? It's $310 a month.
Well,
right?
Well, Hallmark wants to make sure you have a premium package so you get all their channels.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Well, I've got Hallmark, and I'm not spending $310 a month.
I know, right? It's like I spend like 65.
Wow.
Find out, though, that the reason why she – like the Christmas tree was important to her was because growing up, they weren't allowed to have a Christmas tree in the house.
And why is that?
Well, because her dead mother...
I see dead people.
Her dead mother, because this is a Hallmark movie, her mother was kind of a hippie, so her mother didn't believe in killing trees. So she bought a tree that you could plant in the backyard, and that's what they used as their Christmas
tree. Yeah, she refused to put a tree inside.
You can plant trees. No, I actually like that idea. I think it's kind of cool. You look out the window, and there's your Christmas tree.
Yeah, I actually agree that it kills two birds with one stone. You don't have to decorate inside and outside. You just do outside.
Look out the window. Oh, there it is. How about that little tree? It was $50. That didn't make much sense. It was like
that Charlie Brown looking tree was $50.
Yeah, that was $50.
I feel like that's kind of normal.
This enormous tree is $200.
Yeah, but that wasn't a good tree for $50. That was like a Charlie Brown tree. For $50.
But it's in their budget.
Okay. Christmas tree lots in these movies.
So they start talking about their parents until we basically find out his mom hates her and her dad hates him.
Yeah, he doesn't like lawyers.
And we also find out about his mom.
Right.
His mom.
I see dead people.
Also not with us.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Limits the cast.
So they bring in the tree.
Do you think that's why they do that in these Hallmark movies? We don't have a budget for the characters to have two parents on both sides.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we could hire June Squibb. No, let's just make the person dead. Don't have to worry about her.
She's an Oscar nominee and an American treasure.
That Squibb woman is just a pain in the ass on set, so we got to get rid of her. I'm waiting for her to sue us.
By the way, if you're at home and you're making up your own A Lifetime of Hallmark bingo game, You did just get June Squibb. You can just mark that one off.
So they bring the tree in the house, but the tree's too tall. So they cut the top off of the tree and then make their own little tree in their backyard.
But first, before that, when they realize it's too tall, she literally suggests returning it to the store. It was right. A quick line of dialogue, but she's like, oh, we could take it back. I'm like, no, they're not taking your tree back.
No.
Doing that.
No. Like,
you just refinanced your home so you can buy that thing. They don't want to give you your money back.
Well, maybe she's like one of those people who, like, she like buys a dress and goes to an event and she takes it back. She's planning on taking the Christmas tree back the day after Christmas.
They're like, ma'am, you absolutely used this tree. There's tinsel everywhere.
I swear I didn't.
So she ends up falling asleep on the couch. And then we cut to the next day. She's in a diner, but she's at a business meeting, and it's her and her two coworkers. And they're setting up a pageant.
It's a Christmas concert of some sort.
Yes.
Ooh.
By the way, the main woman in this movie, the entire time I was watching it, I thought she's not a poor man's Amanda Peet. She's seriously like Amanda Peet's sister.
Right.
She looked like her. She sounded just like her.
Okay.
So she's talking to her coworkers / friends. And they basically clock her with, like, they're like, oh, you come on, you hate your mother-in-law. We know you hate your mother-in-law. And, okay, question.
Yes.
So she did something, because I'm just looking at my notes right now. Mm-hmm. And what did she do? Because I wrote on my notes, before the movie even proceeded, I bet she's pregnant.
Well, in this moment in the diner, okay. She was complaining about – she was like zoning out because she said she was really tired. And at the end of the meal, she had to go throw up. So I knew immediately okay. She was pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote, I bet she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So then we cut to her husband's office. Steve. Oh, her name is Cynthia, by the way.
Correct.
Yeah.
And his name is Steve. And so Steve is in, like, a business meeting with this very angry client.
Steve is a like, real estate lawyer.
Yes. And the client is very angry. And the client wants this restaurant building, but the person who owns the restaurant doesn't want to leave. And so the guy is trying to get Steve to come up with some lawsuit to get the guy to move.
Right.
And Steve is like, you know what? I don't feel right about doing this. And then he discloses, by the way, I go to this restaurant all the time, and I consider the guy that owns this restaurant a family friend. Right.
Yes.
And then we cut to Cynthia at the doctor's office, where the doctor's like, guess what, Cynthia? You're pregnant.
She says, I can't be.
Right. She's like, I can't be. And it's like, well, Cynthia, have you been doing a little something?
Only in the Hallmark universe would the doctor just be so presumptuous to assume that the person is happy and wanting a baby, too. She's like, oh, I'm so happy for you.
Well, the mind wanders as to the mind wanders as to how this happened. Did she mess up on the pill? Did he not pull out in time? I'm thinking, I guess that's all the options.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I can't think of any more. But the mind does want
condom broke.
Oh yeah. Yeah, kind of a good break.
But I did love those. Ambien. She was like, I can't be. And it's like, well, you are married.
And then my mind wanders. They said she enjoyed a pickle. I'm sure she did. But they said something like that she is that – do pregnant women like
yeah,
pickles?
Pickles
is that
and
a thing?
Ice cream. Yes. That's a thing.
Oh, okay.
Salty and sweet.
Yes. I had a friend who was pregnant. She craved hot Cheetos. Hmm. So then we go back to the lawyer's office, and the guy's like, "I want you to serve this guy, and I want him out of that restaurant." And Steve is like, "But it's 3 days before Christmas," and the guy's like, "I don't give a shit."
This is his boss you're talking about?
Pardon?
This is Steve's boss you're talking about?
Yes.
Fake Ray Liotta?
No, fake Ray Liotta.
He was kind of like a poor man's Ray Liotta.
He was like Ray Liotta in a toupee.
So damn. Steve is telling the boss, Steve goes in and tells the boss, guess what? The mean guy wants me to serve the restaurant and get him out of there. And I told him, no way. I'm not doing this. And the boss looks at Steve and says, this client brings in a lot of money for us. And Steve is like, I don't care. I'm doing the right thing. And the boss is like, I got your right thing right here, and I'm firing you right now.
Steve also goes right into his 5-year plan for him and Cynthia in terms of.
Oh, no, it was 10. It was a 10-year plan.
No, that was a five-year. Five-year.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a 10. I wrote that was a 10.
Yeah.
But, he tells his boss, who just fired him, no, wait a minute. Here's my whole plan, which I, that's not going to work. And the guy says, plans change. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Plans change. And the camera like pulls in very dramatically.
One of his things is he and Cynthia were going to start a family until 2 years in. And they're only 1 year in at this point.
Right. Well, guess what, Steve?
Well, he doesn't
You're
know it.
You're in for a rude awakening.
Yeah.
You did not pull out in time. Oh, well, so you're pulling out now because you're fired.
Right. So then we have a scene where they're both rehearsing.
Would you call this a practicing one's speech montage?
Yeah, kind of.
Psyching yourself up montage?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would, actually.
He's rehearsing in his office where he's like getting booted out.
So then Steve comes home.
Wait, there was one funny visual in that moment, too. It's like, this poor guy's been fired, and he's still, like, sitting there in his office rather than, like, doing this at home, like, getting out of there. And, like, this assistant or someone comes in and just, like, hands him an empty box. Like, not even helping him, not even like, hey, can I get you? She just, like, hands him an empty box, walks in, walks out.
And she had a very, shady look on her face, too. Like, here you go, get out.
Because the assumption in that moment is that's probably his now former assistant. Wouldn't she have some sort of a reaction to him losing his job?
She's a sociopath.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And she's probably like, as long as I'm not losing my job, I don't care what happens.
She's the only she's the only Hallmark character I've seen so far who's just a pure sociopath.
Right.
Believe me, they got her off the screen quick.
So Steve comes home to a decorated house, and he's very impressed that the house is decorated. But then we find out that they're late to pick up his mom at the airport. First of all, I thought these are two very nice people to go and pick up anybody from the airport. But then I thought, well, it's not LA, so it's not LAX. So it's probably not as big of a drama as it would be if they were here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, when they get to that airport, it doesn't even look like an airport. It looks like just a downtown department store.
Yeah.
It's very charming. It's very well decorated. People are super friendly, walking back and forth.
So this part, I kind of agree with the mother-in-law. Because the reason Cynthia's explaining, the reason why the mother-in-law hates her is because the mother-in-law offered Cynthia her mother's engagement ring, and Cynthia said, no, I'm not taking it.
But it wasn't because she didn't like it. It's because it wasn't sized right for her.
Well, but then Cynthia could go and size it.
I guess, but that was the reasoning of like, hey, it wasn't going to fit me.
I thought she was also afraid she was going to lose it.
Yeah, there was that too.
Yeah.
Right. Which then with Cynthia's antics that happen, I actually could believe that.
Yeah.
She would lose it.
Right.
And then I like here when Cynthia explains about that's why she thinks her mother-in-law hates her. Steve's no help because then Steve says, oh no, that's not the reason she hates you.
Many other reasons.
Oh, she doesn't hate you. It's like, no, she doesn't hate you for the ring. She hates you for something else.
Yeah.
Very supportive.
So then Mom shows up, and it is star of Buck Rogers, General Hospital, and many other shows.
Silver Spoons.
Erin Gray.
Yes.
Yay.
And I must tell you, Erin Gray looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah. She was super hot back in the day.
Because she's got to be in her 60s.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
She looks great.
She was. I apparently mentioned her before on this podcast.
Yes,
I think her name came up.
Erin Gray's hot. So I got all excited? I don't remember exactly what I said.
I don't know if it was like over the top excited, but I think there was a mention of her and you mentioned her being attractive.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay.
And I second that. I'm super gay and I can recognize that. Like super gay.
I was visibly excited about this. Erin Gray, yes.
Super
gay. Erin Gray shows up. She's very cranky from her flight.
Mm-hmm. She flew first class.
She says something that I actually agree with. She says that you need a mute button on planes for people sitting next to you. And I agree with her 100%.
Nobody talks to me on planes. Does this happen to you guys? I don't know people sitting next to me yammering away.
People don't shut really? Up sitting next to me on planes.
It's happened to me before. Not often, but it has.
You know, and it's like – and I take a lot of red eyes. Especially when I travel to do my shows and stuff, it's just easier to take a red eye sometimes. And then I have the plan down, go on the flight, sleep on the flight, so then you can hit the ground running when you get to the town you're going to. So I really hate people who want to talk to you on red eyes. It's like, shut up, I'm trying to sleep.
You have to put headphones in like you're listening to something. And every time they start talking to you, then you make a big deal of like taking the headphones. What? I'm sorry, what? Uh-huh.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to listen to my thing.
On a red eye, aren't all the lights out and, like, people are quiet? What are these people, like, whispering? Hey, I want to talk to you.
It's not creepy at all.
The lights are out. I want to talk to you. Where are you going? Same place you're going? Okay.
So
have you seen the new Erin Gray movie?
Injury, and Erin gets a little even crankier because then she almost gets hit by a car.
Well, because Cynthia is acting super accommodating, and she's like, "What do you need? What do you need? Like, what can I do? What can I do? Oh, you get bag? I'll grab your bag." And like takes her bag and walks it across the street. So then Erin Gray and Steve are standing there, and then Erin steps out, doesn't look where she's going, and a car almost hits her.
Yeah. Then they get to the car.
Massive chaos.
Right. They get to the car, And then Cynthia goes to sit in the car, and Aaron then throws Shannon there and's like, oh, wait, you're going to sit in the front? And I'm liking Aaron Gray. I'm liking her a lot. Because I'm like, okay, she's like, shady.
I'm sitting in the front.
And I, like, she's going to save this movie.
High expectations.
I wouldn't go that far. What did you say?
I said you have very high expectations, Les.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was grasping at straws at that point. Oh, okay. So then the car drives away, and as the car drives away, what do we see on the sidewalk? Aaron Gray's luggage.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what Haley Joel Osment saw as they drove away?
I see dead people.
Because Cynthia was going to be dead when they worked out that she forgot the
That's life. Right.
So then, you know, so then Aaron is very shady, very passive aggressive. They go home, and it is soon discovered that they forgot Aaron Gray's luggage. Mm-hmm. And Aaron is not happy about this.
No.
Yeah, she took it well. I thought she took it well.
No, I think she took it passive aggressively well. I think she kept saying it was okay, saying it wasn't a big deal, but every line she would follow it up with would just dig that hole deeper in terms of how bad it was.
It's a gold mine. You know, she now has ammo that she can, you know, throw in all the time. You left my suitcase at the airport, didn't you? Well, I guess, what am I going to wear today? Oh, what I wore yesterday.
Not that nice cashmere I bought just for this trip, which she said. And then...
Oh, yeah.
And then she said that the Christmas presents were in there. Oh, I'll replace the presents. Oh, no, they were hand-knit sweaters, each with a unique pattern given to her by her knitting society. Each one took a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the kids don't want anything knitted anyway, so I think we're okay with that.
But I think it was me. Look how much time and effort I put into this, and it was all lost in a heartbeat. Thanks, Cynthia.
Oh, well.
And then what was even funnier, though,
I'll start knitting for next Christmas.
They thought that the luggage was still going to be there, even though they left it on the street. Mm-hmm. They thought that
I would have driven back to steal
this luggage.
I would have driven back to the airport and been searching the streets. That's what I would have been doing.
Yeah, because they just call the airport. Like, if I'm working at the airport and some random calls me and says, hey, can you check if I left that piece of, like, stray luggage outside of this TSA patrolled area? Can you just go look for that? I'm not looking.
Yep.
Do you mind looking out the window to see it? You see a suitcase out there?
Ignore the nuclear symbols painted on the side of it. That's just a joke. They're stickers.
Right. Because first of all, at LAX, if there was a bag sitting there like that, they'd all freak out.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have like a bomb threat thing.
They would shut down the airport, which would affect half the Western Seaboard, and all the flights across America would be shut down.
They've
all
done
because
it for
Aaron Gray.
They've done it for duffel bags, mm-hmm. So they totally do it for a suitcase.
Oh boy!
So then the next day, Steve is being a dick to her. Cynthia feels bad, and Steve's being a dick to her, too. So she's got Aaron Gray being passive-aggressive. She's got Steve being passive-aggressive.
At what point? There's a point where Steven, it might be the night before, he's in the bedroom, and he's writing his finances.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he's got like a budget sheet written out.
Yeah, the budget sheet. because I'm really into budgeting, so I thought this was interesting. And the cable's 310.
And he's like slowly crossing off items that like maybe we can do without this.
Student loans. Like, he's got student loans for 200. Yeah.
Wait, his student loans were?
His student loans were 200. I just thought it was interesting because student loans come up again in this movie.
Only $200, but his cable is 300. 200.
310. Wait. The cable is 310. Wow. But the student loans are 200 because cable is valued more than education.
No.
Right.
I cannot argue with that.
You don't want to miss Watchmen on HBO. It might start getting good. Ooh.
Let's
shade
not
from me. Shade
from me. I refuse to watch it because I hated the movie.
I hated the movie too, and I tried to read the book. I couldn't read the book. It was boring.
The movie came out in what, like 2009 maybe? And Twitter was still fairly new at that point, and I actually live tweeted the movie before that was a thing. Like, I was just live tweeting the ridiculous things in that movie and how like they're showing penis and how boring the movie still is.
Penis?
Yeah, the blue guy don't they show his wiener?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
you're like, and it's still boring.
Look, I know where I stand in this business. I'll criticize HBO, but I'm not saying anything bad about Zeus TV.
No.
Really? No. Random fun fact. So The Watchmen, I saw it courtesy of someone that my friend knows that was the manager of that movie theater at the time, who happens to be one of the plaintiffs in the case that ended up making same-sex marriage legal throughout the United States.
Really?
Oh. Yes. And we'll leave it at that. Small world.
After I saw the Watchmen movie. Oh, wait, who is this? So this is the person who was working in the theater?
There were two couples at the heart of that case that went to the Supreme Court, and the male couple, one of the husbands, now husbands, is a friend of a friend of mine, and he managed that theater. So I was actually there because of him. And then like 2 months later, it's in the news that he's like in this case. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? What?
Wow. Right. Who changed the basically history.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And it all ties into The Watchmen and apparently our podcast.
Right.
That's fantastic. Wow. And after I went to see The Watchmen movie, I got lucky.
With a blue penis?
That's it.
Blue penis?
With what?
Blue penis?
No. No, no. that was that. I believe it was the beginning of a relationship I was in. That's what was happening.
I've never seen The Watchmen, exciting. And I don't know anything about it.
Well, substantial things happen after you see this movie, so even though it's not good, you might want to sit through it. Something might happen in your life.
Mm-hmm. I know Regina King is in it.
She's in she's in the HBO show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The movie is not as good as the show. The movie is directed by Zack Snyder, who... He is all Zack Snyder-y.
Uh-huh.
So that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked
Watch
about
Succession
this.
Instead.
We've talked about Watchmen way too long.
So
Succession.
So all right. The next day, Steve gets a phone call from his brother, who's in town, and he's like, "I'm here, but guess what? I'm at the hotel, and they say that our reservation has been canceled." So we find out that Cynthia is just on a roll, and she accidentally canceled his brother's hotel reservation.
Yeah.
Right. Because the two reservations, she called to cancel the reservation for the mom, but they automatically canceled the brother's family's reservation too, because they said the reservations were all lumped together.
Right. So Cynthia's very popular.
That sounds
right
weird.
Now.
Yeah.
And
one of the kids, one of the kids knock over a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the sister-in-law, who actually didn't say much, Cynthia was commiserating with the sister-in-law, and the sister-in-law's like, well, she's never, good luck, because she's never going to come around.
Yeah.
Ever. And then, so yeah, so the kids are like nightmares, and his brother is very bitter about having kids. Like, very bitter.
Oh, yeah.
And then I wrote, yeah, I wrote, the kids are like animals.
Wow.
And, he tells Steve, like, how much he hates having kids. And Steve kind of agrees with him. Oh, Steve, yeah, Steve basically is like, well, I'm glad that we've decided to wait to have kids, Cynthia. And Cynthia kind of is at a loss for words.
When did we meet her dad?
Oh, that's right.
Right before that.
Didn't the dad just, like, randomly show up outside of the hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the dad's talking about what we think is what is a woman. What was her name?
Who?
Like, oh, I don't know, but it wasn't a woman. He was talking about his car. Like, leaving his car behind.
And the car had been, the car was broken down.
And he's super chatty, and he's throwing some shade at lawyers.
Right.
Because the other, his other daughter's boyfriend is a poet. He's more impressed with that.
Yes. So this is the part where the kids are, like, on their devices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the kids are on their devices. They're complaining about being bored, which they weren't wrong because it looked very boring in there. And so then Steve says, I have an idea. And then the next scene, we're in the snow and they're all playing in the snow and the family's all playing.
They're sledding.
Oh, hold on a sec. Sorry.
Sledding music?
Having a grand up.
Yes.
Ooh,
it's my phone.
A new little theme song.
Sledding music.
Who's calling you?
Now for your local forecast, accurate and dependable from the weather.
So they're in the snow and they're having fun, and Aaron is out there too, and Aaron and Cynthia basically have a moment. Mm-hmm. Like, they talk, they're actually getting along. It seems like the air is cleared.
Well, this whole scene starts with terrible holiday music.
Yeah,
like terrible original songs.
Yes.
And you know those kids want to be back on their phones instead of having this activity.
Yeah.
Everybody looks like they're having a good time, though.
And then it turns into a snow fight, of course. A snowball fight. And they're having a snowball fight, and everybody's getting into it, and everybody's happy, and everyone's having a good time, until Cynthia decides to throw a snowball, and it hits Aaron Gray in the face.
Yeah. It should also be noted that when she and Aaron Gray were having their nice moment, Aaron Gray's like, oh, aren't you going to sled? And Cynthia says, oh, no, like, I can't because my stomach. And then moments later is in this super aggressive snowball fight.
Yeah. 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 So all of her hard work and appeasing Aaron Gray went down the toilet because she hit her after she hit her in the face with a snowball.
That's right. Threw an ice ball right in her
face. So.
Crushing it.
So then, you know, Steve is talking to Cynthia later about, like, you know, kids and not wanting to have them right away. And Cynthia gets a phone call from her coworkers / friends. And we find out that the mistletoe that was that they were supposed to use for their Christmas show was sent to Kansas. And
Kansas City. Yeah.
Kansas City. And so then we see Cynthia. She's at the office.
Tragedy.
She's talking to her coworker. And she's kind of
We skipped the whole big beat of the Cynthia and Steve are trying to tell each other their secrets. Him losing his job, her and the baby. And then the brother comes in. He's like, hey, my kid forgot his allergy meds. Can you drive me to the drugstore? Which seemed weird because he brought his own car.
Yeah.
So Steve has to leave for that. And then Cynthia goes to the office.
He expects people to do things for him. They're the hosts. They need to tend to him and his needs.
And this is also where we find out that Cynthia's dad would rather sleep in the camper than the house.
So
at the office,
we never see the inside of that camper.
Cynthia's kind of lingering, and like the coworker's like, we've got it covered, you can go home. And Cynthia's kind of lingering, and the coworker once again is like, you hate your mother-in-law, don't you? And that's why you don't want to go home.
She's like, no, I'm working.
I'm
trying to do a good job. Don't assume I'm hating. For the love of God. All right.
So then they talk, and then they talk about, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Claus are booked for the night, which is very important. And then we're back at the house, and the family, they're putting ornaments on a Christmas tree.
And they show an establishing shot of the house, and it's in this moment where I realize this house is massive. It is gigantic. But from everything we've learned up until this point, there's only two bedrooms in this house.
Yeah.
There's the master bedroom and the guest room, and that's it in this giant house.
Like, huge.
Yeah.
It's all kitchen.
To the point of it's like – and then you look at it, and it's like, well, I don't see them having financial problems because they're looking like they're doing pretty well.
Unless they're in over their head. No.
Erin Gray's throwing shade at all the Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
And her and the dad are kind of having words because she thinks that their Christmas ornaments are kind of ugly, and so she wants them on the back of the tree.
Yeah, I kind of thought that there was something going to happen between the parents. Thought that by the end of the movie that her mom and – I mean her dad and his mom were going to get together.
I agree. I thought the same. Wait, what's going on over in Kurt?
Yeah, this is like when you took us on the tour of the La Quinta Fitness Center last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. I sorry about that. I had to plug my phone in. It was low. Don't worry. Pay no attention to this.
Den.
Well – that's unfortunate. Okay.
So then this is where there's like a ring on the doorbell, and it's Cynthia's sister, Robin. Her name is Robin, right?
Yes.
So Cynthia's sister Robin is at the door, and she was supposed to be going to visit her boyfriend's family, but they had a falling out because he's switching his major from he was a philosophy major, and he's switching his major from philosophy to business, and that didn't go down so well.
I immediately hated her. Immediately.
Yeah.
That's her whole storyline is,
I did too.
I broke it off with my boyfriend because he wants to do something else career-wise.
Right.
Than what he was originally going to do. You're a terrible person if that's why you're ending the relationship. Especially when he's moving into something that's way more stable and where he'll make way more money.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He so left. Then we That's where I wrote. And... I wrote. I'm exasperated at that scene. I'm exasperated.
Well, also, she said she thought that Joe was switching majors to business because she thinks he's trying to get away from her. And I wrote, I can't blame him because she's a moron.
Seriously.
She's mentally ill. I'm sorry. I know we'll get letters.
So then we see the family.
An agreement.
And they're making a gingerbread house.
Oh, here's the classism.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Making, here we go. Here it comes.
Because they're making gingerbread houses, but they're making them out of graham crackers. And Erin.
Yeah, they look shitty.
Like, she's looking at them and she's like, what the hell are you guys doing? And they're like.
I can call. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because they're like, when we were growing up, we couldn't afford the gingerbread, so we did them out of graham crackers. And Erin was like, you know, I can call.
I can call the Hallmark store and get you some real gingerbread houses.
What I thought was funny
Don't
about...
Don't worry, I'll pay for it.
What I thought was funny about that moment is that how expensive are the ingredients to make a gingerbread house? Like, they're not building an actual house. That's like, it's sugar and, like,
Walmart.
It's, like, sugar and molasses and, like, and some flour, and then you bake it. Like, it will cost you as much as the box of graham crackers cost you.
Well, this is back in the day when ginger was expensive, I guess.
Oh, that's what it is, the ginger
graham
itself.
Crackers.
Yeah.
That's, but I gotta it was tell back you. In the day. Back in the day. Yeah.
I don't like gingerbread, so I would have probably rathered a graham cracker house anyway.
Oh, in terms of to actually eat it, yes. In terms of what's going to look nicer, I get that the gingerbread house will look nice. It's probably more sturdy, but it is classism at its finest.
I put it in a box. I wrote classism, and I had to correct my spelling because I don't write it very often. And then I put it around it. I drew a box around it. So I was so excited about the blatant classism of this Hallmark movie throws in her face.
I've just thought of the title of this episode. It's going to be A Perfect Christmas Involves Graham Cracker House Classism.
I want to make a graham cracker house. And I know people give me a hard time because I don't have time to go to Boston. But I may make the time to make a graham cracker house. And we're going to see how it looks. These people have nothing to be proud of. I will, because these people's graham cracker house, I mean, the art department, they always said, hey, art department, make the shittiest thing you could possibly make.
They're like, hold my mulled cider.
I wrote, Erin is appalled. Like,
well, what's this? Oh, she's going to, like, I could call and have them have the graham cracker houses, have the gingerbread houses delivered.
Who is she calling for that, by the way?
I'll call.
Like, this chick took months out of her year to make these ugly-ass sweaters, but she's like, I got a gingerbread guy on speed dial.
I believe they're edible, so Uber Eats will be bringing those over at any minute in a limo.
So this is where I'm a little shaky. So what happened after that?
Everyone's kind of going to bed, right?
Huh?
Aren't Cynthia and Steve, like, they're in bed sleeping in the den or whatever, and the dad's like banging on the door?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the heater in the camper is not working.
Well,
so then he has to come in. Boy, here's more classism. And the dad has to literally sleep in a trailer outside.
No, but he wanted to sleep in the trailer.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to say? How else are they going to present this?
I believe what the fat cats are trying to make you believe is that the dad chooses to be poor.
Oh. That's even more offensive. I'm offended by this movie.
So
I really
the next
am.
Day,
shame on. Okay, yeah.
They're shopping.
This is where I hear a pop song. Dun, 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 oh. Dun. I don't know. I wish we had it, but yeah, there's a pop song was playing.
You could probably get it on Hallmark Channel Radio, because you know there is a Hallmark Channel Radio.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Because that's where they played the song, You and Me and Christmas.
Well, someone played it in a car I was in one time, so I was like, oh, I recognize these songs.
It's Leanne Rimes.
Yeah. Okay, oh, that's right. So, yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
So, Cynthia is buying a new suitcase for Karen, and it's the exact suitcase that they lost. And
okay.
And as she's in the department store, she runs into Aaron. And how did they get on? Because she shows her a locket, right? How did they get on the subject of the locket?
Well, first of all, I didn't realize at that moment that they just randomly ran into each other in the store. I thought they were there together because she was having her sister go hide the suitcase because Patricia was coming. Mm-hmm. And then they're talking about I don't remember if Patricia brought it up or Cynthia brought it up. Because they both had similar lockets.
Right. And then Cynthia shows a picture, and then Aaron throws shade and goes, that child hasn't missed any meals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cynthia, what did she mean? The baby was fat?
Well, she's calling Cynthia fat. She's saying baby Cynthia was fat.
Fat.
Yeah.
Baby Cynthia had a fat face? Because always saw was like the face. Yeah. A fat face baby? Baby
she
fat.
Fat-shamed baby Cynthia.
Yeah, she said like that she never had a meal she didn't like or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
she said, there's a child who never missed a meal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What kind of insult is that? Well, you were a fat baby, weren't you?
Right? Like, totally fat shame.
I think I would
child.
Want an explanation. I'd say, could you please explain what you just said? See, people handle things much better than I do. Because it's this Cynthia. She just lets it go. I'd be like, excuse me, what are you saying? You're saying I was a fat baby? What is your problem?
Kurt would turn it into an immediate confrontation.
It would be a confrontation that would go on and on, and Christmas would be ruined.
And especially at this point, Aaron pretty much has a case of why she hates her. She could rattle off a list.
No wonder you people can afford gingerbread.
Do you think that Aaron's implying that if I buy the gingerbread, you're going to eat it? Nobody else is going to want it except for fat Cynthia.
She's got fatness in her genes. Oh, God, I'm going to choke.
So.
Okay, I'll get myself under control.
So Steve is talking to his brother, and he tells his brother he was fired.
Oh, man.
And he tells the brother not to say anything. But we all know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. And this is where I wrote Cynthia's sister is an asshole. Because they're talking about – Cynthia's talking about what she bought for their dad. And the sister's like, well, I didn't buy anything. But can you put my name on the card? And I wrote, this woman's an asshole.
She brings up her student loans here. This was the other student loan mentioned. I have student loans. I'll never be able to pay off.
And then she goes to Cynthia, did my boyfriend call you?
Yeah, what? Because I get the impression that Robin is college age. You know, because her boyfriend changed major.
Yeah, I think
no, I think she was college age because the boyfriend was a philosophy major and then told her right as they were leaving for this trip that he's changing his major. So she's in college. So I get the, like, I don't have a lot of money, but I don't get the, why would your boyfriend have your sister's phone number?
Exactly. Exactly. Because she's like, did my boyfriend call you? Was he asking about me? Does he miss me?
No. He's heading for the hills.
So then let me know if I'm skipping anything, because then I have the dad fixing the camper.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Like after this.
That's right.
He's in the driveway fixing his camper with a hammer?
And Erin is very annoyed because she's in the living room trying to read a book.
How are you fixing a motor with a hammer?
True.
Have you, I don't know a lot about cars, but I don't know that I would ever be like, you know what tool I need right now to fix this thing I know nothing about? A thing that smashes it all to bits.
Yes.
Maybe he's going senile. Maybe that's what they're trying to explain. I don't know.
Where is that?
So, yeah, so Erin is not happy about this. And throws shade about it.
He's giving him. He's beating himself up for creating such a fat baby so many years ago.
Right.
They're not the fat baby again. I can't take it. All right, come on, move. Okay, I have to move on from that.
So Cynthia and Steve finally get a moment alone. And they both are like, I've got something very important to tell you. And as Steve is getting ready to fess up, his boss calls. And his boss is like, I need to see you in the office, and I need to see you right now. Now, granted, this is Christmas Eve, but...
but Steve had also been fired, so he thinks, okay, maybe I'm getting my job back.
Right.
Ooh.
So he's getting ready to leave, but he's like, okay, Cynthia, listen. There's a lasagna in the oven. Don't let it burn. Like, was it like take it? Didn't he say take it out in like 20 minutes or something?
10 minutes.
Yes, please take it out. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, it's in the oven. Whatever you do, don't let it burn. And then they show the lasagna in the oven and they do like a time lapse thing and it burns.
Do you think?
I also noticed the way he kisses her, like, it's so hard. Like, he's headbutting her. It's like, boom.
Because he probably did want a head butter.
Do you think that baby Cynthia would have let that lasagna burn?
No.
Baby Cynthia would have eaten that thing.
I can't take it. Oh, fat baby. This baby never missed a meal. Like, what? That's a good thing. I hear that from someone. I'm like driving my car for an hour. She's saying I'm a fat baby. You know, I'm like seething. I'm seething for the whole drive home.
I just picture like a busy gym, like after work, but instead of people on a treadmill, it's just a bunch of babies crawling on treadmills.
Yeah, man, fat babies. I have to work it out.
Oh, so Steve goes back to the office, right? And his boss, it's Christmas Eve, and the boss is in the office in a total, like, suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fake Rio Liotta does not F around.
No.
Right.
And he's like, okay, so Steve, you know, I've been thinking about this, and since it is Christmas, you know what? I'm going to give you your job back. But you've got to do that lawsuit. And Steve, of course, is like, well, you know, I do need the job, but I am friends with this guy, and the lawsuit isn't warranted. And so the boss is like, okay, I'm going to give you a couple of days to think about this.
But right.
Just know, you do have a baby on the way.
He doesn't know that yet, though.
Didn't he know that?
No, he did not.
Oh, no. He said something about the plan. Like, he said something about the plan.
The boss knew about the plan, but he did not know that – neither of them know that Steve has a baby on the way.
So the boss is like, you know, Steve, you have a plan, and you can be back on track.
Now, is the boss supposed to be like the Grinch or something? Like, he's not having the holidays?
I guess, or that guy on
Scrooge.
Scrooge. We do see later he is having some kind of Christmas. So.
And we do find out that he had been married three times.
Oh, I missed that line.
I think you did say that. Or at least twice, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So then we're at dinner, and the dinner is burned, and apparently it tastes like shit. Because everyone's kind of just, like, picking around it.
By the way, I actually like when lasagna noodles are, like, really hard from being in the oven too long.
Like on the sides. I love that, actually.
Right. I like that, too.
But then she also, I guess, she spiced it, too.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. She put, like, red bell pepper or something on it to help counter the fact that it was – I don't know how that would have helped.
Well, to cover up the burns.
So you're covering the burns by just putting pepper on it?
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, it was really spicy. You
know, she could have
Julia Childs used to do.
She could get a gingerbread house ordered like that.
She will not be beating Bobby Flay.
So Aaron was like, enough of this shit. We're going out to eat.
Her filthy mouth.
So,
and they go to Fandoni's. What's it called?
Yeah.
Fandoni's.
Yeah, and this is Cynthia's idea. She's like, oh, we'll go to Steve's favorite restaurant. And Steve's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to go there.
And then Steve's like trying to look. Steve's like, I'm not even sure if it's going to be open today. And cut to restaurant's like crowded as hell. And the food is good and everyone's liking it. And then Mr. Bandoni himself comes up to the table and like the whole table like knew who he was. And he was like, you know, Steve, you're always welcome here. There's always a place for you. And then Steve feels like an asshole.
I wrote, Steve kisses him before he fucks him.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So that's sweet. Although Steve kisses hard, though, like I said before, it's like a headbutt.
Yeah.
Boom! Right.
So
you know what's coming.
So then the grandparents are stringing popcorn.
There's like a garland-making race.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Okay, now,
I wrote, this movie can end now. It's basically just reaching for shit.
Now, as low class as this is, even I am becoming classist. It's rubbing off on me. As classless as this popcorn thing, the Erin Gray character is really into it. This is where she connects with these low class people.
Because the dad is sort of challenging her, like, oh, you're not going to be able to do this. She's like, oh, please. And she gets in there, and then they start having this garland-making race, and the kids are cheering, go, Grandma, go, Grandma.
Oh, Grandma.
Like, these kids that were so
disinterested
in any activity with the family are suddenly, like, all in on, let's have a garland-making race.
Man.
And not going to lie, Patricia's garland smoked the dads.
Yes.
It did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the dads was really lame.
Yeah. Well, you know, he probably has arthritis and can't move as fast, and now it's sad.
Next Christmas. Dad's so then gonna be in assisted living, I think. This is the last perfect Christmas. Oh, God.
Oh, so then we cut to Aaron and Cynthia, and they're in the kitchen, and they start talking, and we realize that Aaron actually likes Cynthia. She does not hate her. And then she drops the bomb. Oh, and by the way, Cynthia, I know you're pregnant.
She said, congrats on the pregnancy. And then, you know, Cynthia says, like, oh, you knew? And I thought that was kind of a ploy. Like, she was saying it to see what the reaction was going to be so she could find out.
Right.
but not really.
So then the next scene, Cynthia's in the backyard and she's talking to her dead mother.
I thought she was talking to a tree.
She's talking to the tree.
Well, she was doing
like,
both.
I see mom. Dead people.
She was talking to her mom via the tree because that was her mom's tradition.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a stretch. Okay.
And then the dad and the sister come out, and then they all start talking about the mom.
Yeah.
I see dead people.
And then the Christmas, who lights the tree? Like, there's a light on the top of the tree.
Oh, the dad brings
who
that
lights
out.
It?
That was an ornament or a tree topper that they had from growing up.
So the next day, it's Christmas Day. The kids are really excited. They're waking their parents up. Their parents are like, you know what? We're still sleeping. Go watch TV, like all parents do. Now, what we forgot to mention was when Cynthia went to her OBGYN, her OBGYN gave her a DVD of the ultrasound.
Yeah. And originally, when she was going to tell Steve, she had like put it in the DVD player and had it like ready to go.
Yes. So right. So the parents were like, shut up, leave us alone, go watch TV for an hour and come back. So the kids turned on the TV and they see the ultrasound DVD. So then...
If this had been a Lifetime movie... Oh, go ahead, Kirk.
I'm sorry, what's that? No, I was going to say, they better be careful what DVDs are just... leaving around the house.
Well, I was going to say, if this had been a Lifetime movie, we wouldn't see the DVD of the ultrasound. We'd see the DVD of how the baby was conceived.
Right.
Ooh.
So then, of course, everybody knows.
Pulled out too late.
So then, while they're gossiping, the brother's like, oh, and by the way, Steve lost his job, too. So everybody knows about everything. About the baby, about... the job.
I actually
Everybody is on the bed watching.
I actually liked this moment in the movie where the dynamics of who knows what totally shifts, where like everyone else in the family knows, but the Steve doesn't know and Cynthia doesn't know and they don't know that they don't know.
Right.
I know that you know that I know that you know.
Okay. So then they're downstairs, and they're opening gifts, but Aaron says, oh no, it's a family tradition, we're going to open one gift at a time. And so...
which then, is fine.
So then Aaron's getting ready to open up her gift. But then her suitcase shows up.
Yeah, well, she was about to open the suitcase that Cynthia bought her. Suitcase shows up, and Cynthia's like, oh, wait, this is for my dad instead.
Now, first of all, I was impressed that no one stole the suitcase, that it actually showed up. You know?
Yeah.
Were you surprised by that, though, in the confines of this movie?
True. The only reason I was surprised about it was because they forgot the suitcase outside. Now, if they forgot it inside the airport, I would totally be like, okay. But then it is a Hallmark. You're right. It is a Hallmark movie. So anything
I lost a watch. I lost a watch in Madison Square Garden, and somebody handed it in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an honest person. In New York.
Yeah, that's cool. Yep.
Like, were you at a concert and just kind of dropped it on the ground? Like, it fell off?
No, I was working there. I was at a Halloween show at Madison Square Garden years ago, and I probably left it in the bathroom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody handed it in. Yep.
I used to date a guy that left he left an iPad on a flight. And tried calling the airline. They found it. They're, hey, we're gonna hold on to it for you. And then it went missing, mysteriously missing. And you thought that, like, okay, somebody from the airline stole it. I'm never getting it back, never getting it back. Well, this ex, he worked at an Apple store. He used to in Manhattan. One of his friends from that store calls him like 6 months later. He's like, hey, somebody brought in this iPad for repair and we looked at the serial number and it's registered to you. So this iPad that was like twice stolen got turned in at the store that he worked at.
Okay, that's a good story.
Yeah, that's a Hallmark movie for you right there.
Seriously. And he got it back.
Mm-hmm. Got it back.
Well, I don't think he ever got it back. It was just fascinating that, like, able to follow the paper trail.
Well, then at that point,
it does not have a happy ending. I'm sorry. Anyway.
So then they start handing out the sweaters. Like, Cynthia gets an ugly sweater, and it is very ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. I liked it.
And then I didn't know what possessed
Aaron. I was actually kind of impressed with the sweaters.
Really?
Well, I thought the knitting, I thought it was that they were well done.
So then I guess Aaron was feeling the Christmas spirit because then she's like, okay, everybody, just open up everything.
Yes, and I wrote, they descended like greedy animalistic capitalists.
Now, I had to leave the room for a second. What happened to this next part?
Well, at that point, Erin Gray pulled out a chainsaw and started sawing the guy who was in a trailer, started sawing his head in half.
That is not what happened.
I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised by that. So you shouldn't have walked out of the room at that point.
You did miss the climax of the movie.
They're in a kitchen.
Yeah.
They're in a kitchen, and Cynthia gave Erin Gray a locket.
Yeah, she's like, I have one more gift for you. And she gives her a locket, and it's her locket. It's the one with her fat baby photo in it.
How'd she get it? she gives her the fat baby.
No, yeah, she doesn't give her – she doesn't give Erin Gray her own locket. She gives her the same locket that she had.
Oh. That's cheap. You're giving away stuff that you own?
Yes, that's the takeaway here is that Cynthia was re-gifting. What an a-hole.
She's re-gifting. I can't take this picture out of me as a fat baby. I guess that's what you'll have to
I was
wear
so
around your
fat
neck
that
now.
The picture is wider and won't come out of the locket now. And then Steve sees it. And he's like, oh, well, there's a picture missing in there. And the grandmother or the Patricia says, there'll be something to put in there soon. And kind of like winks.
Winky, winky.
And then weren't they – then Steve and Cynthia had a talk, right? Or they were getting ready to talk?
He tells her about the job.
Yeah.
About losing the job. She still doesn't tell him about the baby, though. And this is what – this happened a couple times in this movie. She's like, hey, we need to talk. He's like, yeah, you're right. And she's like, I want to tell you something. He's like, yeah, you're right. And then he starts talking first, and she never gets to say her news.
No.
Well
– he's mansplaining.
The reason why she gets to say her news is because she gets a frantic call from the Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And the power is not working. And they need her there immediately.
Well, they said that no one will hear the choir. And I wrote, oh, I think we will.
And so the dad talks to Steve, and then Steve gets a note, right? He gets a note from Aaron, and the note's like, you need to watch this.
I forget, where did Steve go that he came back to the house?
Oh, there's a whole thing. Well, first of all, the dad sits down, and he says to Steve, he's like, I heard you lost your job. You should become a poet instead. But he does. He says, you're a good lawyer. But then Steve goes to his boss's house.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
boss doesn't let him in. And he says that he will hire him back, but Steve C says that he will defend Mr. Barbados or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah.
Right.
Barboni. Mr. Barboni. He will defend him.
Yeah.
Probably for free. And then this boss, the evil boss, says no.
So he's like a social justice lawyer.
Yeah.
And then Steve comes home and there's a note on the wall from Aaron Gray saying, mm-hmm. Hey, everyone went to the concert, but you must watch this video before you do anything else or I'll never speak to you again.
And then he watched a series of silver spoons.
And then he sees this baby.
Including the Alfonso years.
Oh. So then we're at the Christmas show, and they're singing, and yes, we do hear the singing.
Oh, yeah.
And then we find out, Mr. and Mrs. Claus can't make it. Mm. What are we going to do?
Boy, probably get people to work for free.
What are we going to do?
By the way, what?
Mom and Dad.
I don't know.
So,
I was saying, as soon as they fix the sound system, this choir jumps on stage like they just stepped on a landmine and were ejected onto the stage.
So then Aaron is Mrs. Claus. Dad
yes.
is Mr. Claus.
Well,
Aaron is
Gray,
like a stand-up
she
comic.
Just played, yeah, she, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, like the yes, dad is nervous about going on stage, and Aaron Gray mentions having been in Macbeth or something in high school, so she's all game to go up there.
She's Lady Macbeth.
Right.
And then once they're up there, well, first of all, who the hell are the sketchy Santa and Mrs. Claus that they hired that flake on a Christmas concert on Christmas Day?
Right.
They had car trouble.
Or too much eggnog.
Take an Uber!
They couldn't do it?
No, like, nobody could pick up Santa and Mrs. Claus?
It's just problematic people. I don't know how they can call this a perfect Christmas.
It's not.
Maybe it's just the best Christmas these people can manage. Yeah, then these people get on stage. The Mr. and Mrs. Claus, they get on stage. They're all nervous. They've got a whole act.
Yes.
It's like Nichols and May all of a sudden.
The dad turns into like a hacky Catskills comic all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
There's like
the whole show.
Mabel.
I don't know how they learned all these lines. It's a Fringe show all of a sudden.
Get
up
off
there.
The
Jesus
stage.
Christ. No. Sit and watch that.
And so then. Steve and Cynthia.
Miss Maisel.
He was like Midge Maisel.
Do you think that Santa
that's right,
works blue?
Miss Maisel.
Santa works blue.
So then, Steve and Cynthia finally talk, and he's like, you know, I know you're pregnant, and everybody's secrets. The cats were out of the bag all around, and that was it.
No, wait. Robin's boyfriend shows up.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Joe shows up,
and they don't even address. They don't even comment on her selfish and ridiculous behavior towards why she broke up with him. It's like nothing happened.
And he looked like a nice guy, actually.
Yeah.
Well, he left his family. He was going to spend Christmas with his family, so I guess he picked up and left them for her. So,
for her.
Some people are left behind.
Right.
I have the hiccups.
And that was it.
Oh, excuse me. No, there's 1 year later.
Yeah, they cut a year ahead.
There's a coda. Everyone is there. There's a crying baby. The outside tree is there. The end. That's what I wrote. You see the baby, and the baby does not. The baby has a fat head. Much,
the baby
much like
was
the
not.
Or
the baby was not a fatso. No.
So the baby took more after the father. Okay.
I'm sure with Aaron Gray there, she was not having that.
Maybe they got
that baby
lipo.
No, that's right.
So, what'd you guys think?
It was inoffensive. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it.
I guess I didn't hate it, but I didn't care for this. It was mildly offensive with this classism. I don't know.
I felt like there were a lot of missed opportunities in this.
Yes.
I mentioned I like that dynamic of where the family knew everyone else's secret, but they didn't know the family knew. I felt like that could have been the whole movie.
Right.
As they're all trying to dance around each other when really the family's like, hey, like you just have to tell each other.
Yeah.
Be upfront. Right.
Yeah, it could have been like a screwball comedy kind of
thing.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, that could have worked.
And they didn't need the concert. The concert served no purpose in this movie. Like, normally they have those town events as a way of, like, bringing the couple that doesn't know they're in love together. But, like, we already knew the couple was together. Like, that wasn't going away.
Well, I found our Lifetime Christmas movie. I'm a little hesitant to announce it because you know how that goes.
Yeah, well, don't announce it till it's on air. But we're going to do a Lifetime movie.
Well,
next.
I'll give you a hint. I'll leave it at this. It's an urban Christmas movie.
Okay.
Oh, that's exciting.
Fingers crossed for Jackie's Mrs. Claus.
When I hear the name Cynthia, I think of Cynthia wore the prettiest dress with different colored socks. Sometimes I wonder if the mates were in her lunchbox. You know that song?
I do not.
So in the movie,
Starfish and Coffee by Prince.
So in the movie, which I'm not going to say what it is, I forgot to check to see if Jack Hay's in it. Because what's an urban movie on Lifetime without Jack Hay?
One with Vivica Fox.
She's like, ooh, faster, ooh.
I will say that anytime I see the name Mary written anywhere now, because we talk about Jack Hay all the time, all I can think of is Mary.
And Regina King from Watchmen.
Yeah. She was in 227.
Yeah, she was.
Jack Hay should be in Watchmen.
Maybe she is.
Wait, I heard, did we talk about this? That Jack Hay was at Hallmark? The Christmas con?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Yeah. We talked about that, yeah. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I got a run.
Okay.
Oh, but if you want to find me on social media, you can find me, Les Kirkendall Barrett, on Facebook, at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or on Instagram, at Kirkendall. By the way, you can catch, if you wanted to, you could also find us at A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast on Facebook. And I actually looked at the group the other day, and we have almost 200 members.
Woohoo!
Ooh. Hello,
in our
everyone.
Lifetime of Hallmark group.
Well, thank you all for listening.
I was shocked and pleased, actually. And
it's very exciting.
Jason?
Oh, you can find me on social media. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason.
Kurt,
yeah.
Okay, last week it was like week of November 15th, I think it was. I was on Blue Bloods, so if you watch Blue Bloods, I'm in it. It's a scene where Tom Selleck comes in to apologize to the dad from the Wonder Years. Then I'm going to be in a show called Uber Taxi Cab Confessions in January of next year in Winterfest in New York City. So I'll be updating the website at some point, and you'll get all that information.
Anyway, gentlemen, well, I guess I'll talk to you next week. Now that we are in rest up, it is Christmas season. It is basically like our tax season. We are busy until January. Anyway,
I'm ready.
I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.